Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
She was bright, beautiful, spunky.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 6, Episode 7, Violated. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave. How are you?
I am well, Dave.
Oh, are you talking to me now?
I don't know. Are you ready to stop being an
asshole? Are you talking to us now?
That's a good question.
No.
All right, let's begin. Starting with our E plot, Steve and Claire's romantic calamities. Claire spots Steve and his white jeans, which are hard to miss, at school and tells Donna not to let him see her. Things between them are going well, but he's asking if he should get a hotel room, and she's nervous because she doesn't think that Steve is ready for the kind of relationship she wants this time. Later at the Peach Pit, Steve's hair is bananas. We haven't really been talking about it much on the podcast, but his hair is so tall. Like, it seems like they're spraying it with some kind of thickening agent and then like teasing it up, because at first what I thought was just party hair in the premiere is like, no, that's just what his hair looks like now.
Yeah, it's really, ooh.
You can see it in the visual aids. He and Brandon discuss his plans to take Claire to a hotel. Brandon thinks Claire is the mirrored ceiling type. Okay. Steve admits that he can't imagine waking up with her. There's talk of bear traps and Susan forcing Brandon to make her bed 3 times. Wah, wah. Moving on. Claire and Steve have just burned some garlic bread. And I guess because it's so sexy, it reminds Steve that he's still waiting for an answer on his hotel room plan the next night. Claire's answer is yes. He wants to book a room, but she says that she will do it. Not that she doesn't trust him, but first times are important to her. And then she jokes that she doesn't want mirrors on the ceiling or anything. Ha ha. And then the bellman is letting Steve and his jorts into the weirdly small room at the Bellage, where else, that Claire apparently booked for them. She's lucky to get it, says the bellman, since the police conventions had the place booked up for days. Steve is getting extra pillows out of the closet and finds tucked underneath them a bag from the Pleasure Hut, which contains handcuffs. Please go to the visual aids to see the logo on this bag, because it is gorgeous. And I seriously want it on a t-shirt, and I'm not
Me
joking.
Me too, that font.
It's so good.
Very tab can. Love it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. When they meet up at Colin's art show, which we will get to, Steve compliments Claire on the room. She says she left a surprise in it, and he thinks he found it. And when they end up in the room later, she's on the bed smelling Steve's flowers, not a euphemism, when she turns around to see him messing around in the closet. She asks what he's doing, and he says he's looking for the surprise she left. She says it's not in there and gets it out of the nightstand. It's his latest math test, and he got an A. He turns around in shock, which is when she sees that he is holding handcuffs, but the test was the surprise. He brought handcuffs? Fight! Misunderstanding! Police convention! Steve dumps out the rest of the sexy stuff in the bag, but Claire is disgusted and gets ready to leave. But Steve knows a lot of her past relationships involved handcuffs, and that someone as he puts it, kinkified as her, could have left all this stuff. She is pissed and storms out. Will they recover? We don't find out in this episode. Moving on, unless you have anything to add. To our D-plot, Donna's Rose Queen quest continues. Sorry, not that sorry, though. Donna has progressed to the next stage of the Rose Court business, but can't get excited because she has to see Ray that night at the Peach Pit and gets bummed whenever she thinks about him. Claire tells her to cancel, but she can't. She has to return a songwriting book to him. Seems like a flimsy pretext. Claire volunteers.
Also, yes. U.S. Mail, they still had that.
Yeah. Also, just go to the peach pit and leave it there. He's going to be by. Everyone is there all the time, but whatever. Claire volunteers to do it for her, or suggests, again, to our point, that Nat do it. But clearly, Donna really does want to see Ray because she can't stop coming up with reasons that she has to go. And later, Ray prepares for Donna by spraying canned whipped cream on some coffee, but she is in no mood in clip number two.
Thought we were being in the peach pit?
We were, but I had to clean out my dressing room. Don't tell me you're afraid to be alone with me.
No, I'm not, but I can't stay.
Look, you didn't come all this way just to give me my book.
Look, don't tell me why I came.
Hey, don't get crazy on me, all right? Relax.
Don't get crazy and relax in the same sentence? No.
Yeah, are you going to ask her to smile now? This is not the play.
No. Yet, somehow it works. She sits and he tries to make conversation about how school's going for her. She says it's good. She asks how his album is going. He claims great, but uh-oh, that was a trap, as we hear in clip number three.
Yeah, it's not what I heard. Barbara Corman told my mom that you canceled your last three sessions.
Yeah, well, I had a sore throat and I didn't really feel much like singing.
Ray, you can't do this to yourself.
Well, it would help if you would return my calls. How can you cut me off like this, Donna? I need you now more than ever. I write my songs for you.
Yeah, well, you never wrote one about throwing me around.
Donna, please.
Look, Ray, we've been in an abusive relationship. I've been reading about it, and it's been like looking in the mirror.
Look, I'm sorry about the past, all right? I can't change it. But I haven't done anything wrong in a long time. And what more do you want me to do?
You can get help.
Why can't you remember the incredible summer we had?
I do. Do you know what that's called in the book? It's called the honeymoon period. And I don't want to be around when the honeymoon's over.
Oh, I get it. So now I'm the monster, huh? Well, you built me up, so I guess it's only fitting that you tear me down.
This is not my fault.
Yeah, right. You're blameless. Enjoy your time alone, Donna.
Ooh.
Who cares?
Yeah. I think she's okay being alone. That was the whole point of what she was saying, that your relationship was toxic and she shouldn't be in it. Hello?
You just lost yourself a customer.
Exactly.
My question is, you suck. I mean, it's so weird. Like, is she, like, she has evidence going back years now that choosing to remain a virgin and sticking to that is costing her relationships and dudes cheat on her. And so she's clearly willing to pay that price, but then being like, enjoy your alone time. Like, she will?
Yeah.
Because eventually she gets back to her guns and sticks to them?
Yeah.
Whatever. Bad writing.
Indeed. Speaking of which, later Kelly helps Donna get ready for her latest Rose Court interview bullshit. Donna's all insecure and it's boring. Kelly offers to go with her and help her rehearse for her interview on the drive. And they briefly discuss Colin, who we will get to, whereupon Donna gets morose in clip four.
Don't trust them, Cal. They all cheat.
No, not all of them.
Yeah, that's right. Some cheat and beat. What did you say? Forget it. Just don't let him hurt you. Donna, has Ray ever hit you? Not exactly. I mean, he yelled, he shoved, he pushed, he threw me down the stairs once.
Oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah, well, I didn't fall down those stairs in Palm Springs. But don't worry about it.
My stunt double did, but he's fine.
Donna, if anything like this ever happens again, you have to tell me. I'm your friend.
I know. I thought it would go away. And Ray was so insecure about fitting in, I didn't want you to hate him.
You cannot go back to him. He'll do it again.
I know that. And since I had it out with him, I have felt stronger than I have in a long time. Good for you.
More bad writing, but Kelly's response is so muted. Like, if someone that you, if your very good friend since childhood told you that her boyfriend was physically abusive to her, like, you'd be horrified.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's horrified.
Yeah,
I mean, it's weird. Like, I feel like she was directed to sort of not, you know, that Donna had certain like PSA boxes to tick.
Yeah.
And she just may have been directed to not be judgy or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was
point.
The scene is so boring. And like now she's the, like, I've read the book on abusive relationships and now I'm the expert. So yeah, I just, I mean, I agree. I just sort of wasn't really paying attention to Kelly, and I'm sure that was by design.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we should be grateful that this scene didn't turn into, like, as a psych major, I can tell you that blah, 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 which it could have, but, and would have been worse. But anyway.
Yep.
Moving on to our C story, Kelly versus Colin and the Cougar at the No Name Art Gallery. Seriously, the B-roll, like, does not have a sign outside the gallery, which is... like
bunch of pintos though.
Yep. Where his stupid show of his dumb art is going to happen. Claudia is hilariously condescending about Kelly and the crew in clip number 5.
Think you invited enough of your little friends?
Art is for the people.
This is an art opening, not a bargain basement.
They're nice people, Claudia.
Right.
And Kelly, she's very knowledgeable.
Right. Like all your other little side dishes.
Hey, you don't have to insult her.
Why? Are you getting serious about her?
What if I am?
I just think too much emotional involvement would be bad for your work.
Let's concentrate on the show, okay?
Spinoff for Claudia and her crazy lips, because I love how much she hates his friends.
Totally. Also, like, if she wants to keep, if she wants to keep him, like, on the chain, this isn't the, you know, like, they could both afford to be a little more subtle, but I guess it's soap opera. And,
Anyway, Kelly goes to pick up Colin to give him a ride to his show. Claudia and her crazy lips open the door and coolly say that he's got one. She tries to close the door on Kelly, who asks if he's there. Claudia says she's taking a shower and, sorry, he's taking a shower, and things deteriorate from there in clip 6.
Kelly, you're a smart girl. Haven't you caught on yet? I beg your pardon? Here's the deal. You can borrow Colin, but I own him. What was that? We have an arrangement. I fund his art, and he's available to me for whatever I want, whenever I want.
Claudia, you grab me a clean towel?
Yes, love. I thought you were married. My husband's an older man with far greater problems than my marital infidelities. Do us all a favor. Don't show up tonight.
Claudia.
When she says, do all of us a favor, she means literally all of us, bitch.
Literally all of us.
After a commercial.
Oh, so satisfying.
So good. After commercial, it's the art show. Colin and his completely hideous band collared asymmetrical button shirt.
Oh my God, what is that thing?
Stupid. It looks like when people on Star Trek The Next Generation like were in their civvies and they still looked stupid. Like, like, oh, this is what you wear in your off time for leisure? Oh, okay.
It looks the same, except with a different button.
Right.
Oh God.
Anyway, he's nervous. He and his shirt are nervous that Kelly hasn't shown up yet. Donna promises that Kelly wouldn't miss it. And then Claudia is trying to get Colin to pay attention to the reporter from the LA Times, as if. But Colin is more worried about where Kelly is. And he's in the middle of calling her when Claudia says that Kelly's not coming and why. Colin is pissed and leaves. Kelly is definitely not worth blowing off a reporter from the LA Times if one is actually there, just saying. But Colin goes straight to Kelly's and she opens the door and is a bitch. He wants to explain and tries to in clip 7.
It was just a deal for my career. It was in place long before I met you. It's just business. She means nothing to me.
That is very sad.
Look, I'm gonna break it off with her for good.
And then what? Find a West Coast version of Claudia? Who's gonna be your sugar mama then? Who's gonna pay for your loft?
I'll get a job.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Try to understand, Kelly. It's the price I had to pay to concentrate on my art.
You're not an artist. You're a whore. And I would have more respect for you if you were sweeping floors.
Oh, boy.
First of all, no, you wouldn't. Second of all, you're also a whore. Third of all, he's not an artist either. He's just a whore, and he's not even good at it. Whores don't have hair that looks like it was, you know, hairsprayed up against a piece of shirt cardboard.
Yep.
Probably the cardboard from that shirt. And fourth of all, go fuck yourself.
She goes back to flop onto the stupid couch air, but when she hears something, she gets up, and we see that this like chiff, chiff, chiff noise is that Colin is sweeping the deck.
Oh, barf.
And she smiles. Barf. Moving on. To our B plot, Romeo and Juliet and Bruno. In the good old student union, Bruno is reading when Dylan brings him a cup of coffee, no strings attached. Bruno wisely declines. Dylan admits that there is a string attached. Bruno tries to leave, but Dylan stops him to give him a letter to relay to Tony. He thinks that Bruno, Tony Jr., he thinks Bruno will do it because he cares about Tony Jr. And as he leaves, Bruno asks, what's more important, keeping Tony Jr. or vengeance against Tony Sr.? And Dylan has to think about it real hard. And later, Bruno does, in fact, produce Dylan's letter and insists that Tony Jr. read it when she initially refuses. Dylan's letter says that his issues with Tony Sr. had nothing to do with the way he feels about her, and he knows that she'll find happiness with someone who deserves her more than he does. Again, barf. But Tony is stricken. It worked. And Dylan is out on his deck working on his motorcycle barefoot again when Bruno shows up.
Thank you. And also, like, how many times have we seen him riding that thing? Twice?
Yeah.
Three times?
Uh-huh.
Just sell it for parts. You're always fixing it. No one thinks you're cool. Put some shoes on and kill yourself.
Yeah. Anyway, Bruno has a letter from Tony Jr. Dylan needs to know it's the last communication there'll be. But Bruno likes him and wishes him luck, and Tony's letter tells him to meet her in the library the next day. So after a commercial, for some reason, we watch Dylan wait in a little seminar room and Tony in her dumb, chunky hiking sneakers walking for 20 minutes. And you think it's going to be a misdirect and someone else is going to meet Dylan, but then she just walks in. Guess the episode was short. Anyway, she's glad that Dylan is there. He asks about her father, who forbade her from seeing Dylan, but she's not listening to Tony Sr. She's listening to her heart. Also, Tony Sr. is out of town. How much time do they have? As much as he wants. Does she mean that? With all her soul. They make out for a while, but then pause to exchange banalities in clip 8.
Does Bruno know where you are?
Yeah. He agreed because he doesn't have my father to answer to.
It kind of ruined your perfect life.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
I'm not. Dylan, I've never been in love like this before.
You're 20.
You have to stop hating my father.
How can I do that? I mean, how can I after what he did?
No matter what you think about my father, he's still my father and I will always love him. Please. Dylan, he's all the family.
I surrender.
To what? I surrender to mafia pussy that wants to keep having a relationship with her dad?
I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah. Also, we already saw this. It was a fight with Brenda and she moved in with you and it didn't work out well.
Oh, anyway.
Boring.
Uh-oh. Then Tony Sr. is in his car on the way to the airport and is in such a good mood he wants to swing by school and say goodbye to Tony Jr. Bruno says she's in class. Sr. knows, but he doesn't want to leave without saying goodbye, and Bruno keeps trying to cover for her, but it doesn't work. And so Dylan and Tony are coming out of the library hand in hand when Tony Jr. sees her dad's car. Tony Sr. gets out and storms up, ordering her to get in, but she refuses. And Dylan announces that he loves Tony Jr. Tony Sr. is sure that he does, but Dylan can't have her. Junior says the fight is over. Senior says the conversation is over and orders her into the car again, but she doesn't move. And he says if she doesn't get in the car with him right now, she shouldn't come home at all. And she still doesn't move. So Senior says goodbye and peels off. Dun, dun, dun. And then Dylan is waking up on his dumb sheets that Sarah especially hates to the sound of Tony crying next to him.
Which is why she's crying.
Thank you.
Because of the fucking sheets.
That's what my file name says in the visual aids. He hopes that she's not crying about yesterday, but it's today she's worried about, and tomorrow. She's scared. She has an empty feeling inside her. Nothing's ever going to be the same. But as long as she has Dylan, she doesn't care, and he promises never to let anyone or anything hurt her as long as he lives. Moving on to our A story, Valerie Malone and the case of the pervy prof. We open this plot line with a young-ish prof lecturing about sex and advertising in a very predictable way. Val, Dylan, and Susan are all in this class, and Val soon becomes an object lesson in clip 9.
Now, I know you've all seen a million beer and soda commercials, and you know they're not going to get some professorial guy like me to stand here at a lectern and recite the merits of a particular drink. Of course not. They're going to get a gorgeous girl like this, and they're going to put her in a bikini, sit her by the pool as she sensually sips her drink, licking her lips in delight. Yes?
Professor Haywood, just because it sells, it doesn't make it right. You're talking about the exploitation of women, and I find it offensive.
Well, I'm sorry, Miss Keats. I didn't mean to offend you personally, but this is a class in marketing, not ethics. And frankly, sex sells.
God. Very insightful. Very worth the money you spend for this class, students. Cough. As class ends, Susan mutters to Val that she hates the prof. Val asks why she took the class, like, who knows what a prof is going to be like before a class starts, whatever. But Susan says she doesn't know, nor does she expect to get a decent grade. David suggests that they all have lunch, but Val has another obligation, and we hear that in clip 10.
I'm going to catch up with Professor Haywood and apologize for being late for class.
Show some cleavage, you might get an A.
There's nothing wrong with being nice to a teacher.
Well, yeah, that's terrible writing for both of them, but
yes.
I don't know. Like, there were certain professors that were notorious for this kind of thing, at least at my university.
Yeah.
Like, guys who had to have the door open and a female staffer in the room kind of thing.
Yeah, of course.
Professor Roach, looking at you, fucking pig.
That's a fake name, right? Change the name for the, or is this
He's
person dead
now. Fuck
okay,
him.
Good. Anyway, in the hall, Val introduces herself. Haywood remembers her lateness as a distraction. She apologizes and promises it won't happen again. He lets her off the hook. She asks when their midterm grades will be available because she enjoyed the project that she did. She modeled it on the business that she runs, and he keeps trying to move on until she says she loves the class, whereupon he turns back and the music gets very concerned. As he says, in that case, he says he's giving a lecture to local business executives and invites her to come. And then he compliments her fragrance. Gross. After the lecture, Val is beaming. She learns so much from his speech. And he's all pumped up and offers to take her for a drink. And in the hotel bar, Haywood bores us and her with tales of a doll campaign that he worked on that's obviously supposed to be Barbie and had some kind of covering to make sure it was never naked between wardrobe changes. He left advertising after his wife died and he lost the drive. Hey, Val reminds him a lot of his dead wife, Lily. He misses her every day and every night. She used to come with him to these seminars all the time. Val's the first woman he's invited since his wife croaked. Does she think? So she asks, does he think she has a future in advertising? He read her project, says it's sensational. And she lights up at his praise, which is sad. Hey, he suggests, why don't they have the next round in his room upstairs that he got in the hotel where he just gave a mid-afternoon lecture in the city where he lives? Val's face falls. Like, it's so instantaneous. She's like, oh, it's like this. Great.
oh, I know.
She is surprised. He says the room comes with the deal. Okay. Val tries to get out of this without either of them losing face, but it doesn't really work in clip 11.
I don't think so. I wouldn't want anybody to get the wrong idea.
Valerie, relax. I promise to be discreet. You have nothing to worry about.
No, I think I do, Professor Haywood. You're coming on to me.
Well, I'm glad you finally caught on. I thought I was losing my touch.
Listen, I'm sorry. I'm interested in your class, not you.
Oh. Pity.
Goodbye, Professor Haywood.
Goodbye, Ms. Malone.
I mean, well, whatever. I'll get to some of these comments later, but here's one thing that's creeping me out right now.
Mm.
Is just, they say his name like a million times, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Haywood Jabloui. but what I actually keep thinking of is the kid in Happiness, the Todd Solondz film, being like, Dr. Maplewood? Like,
yeah.
While he's getting molested by Dylan Baker's character. And it's just not a good... a good association or feeling for me.
Susan's at the casa for dinner when she hears that Val won't be there because of this lecture with Haywood, and she's surprised because she thinks Haywood is so gross. Right on cue, Val comes home looking dark, and she keeps walking and not wanting to talk, so Brandon goes after her, and she tries to explain, sort of, in clip 12.
Tell me something, Brandon. Do I look particularly trashy tonight?
What?
What I'm wearing.
No.
And my forehead. Do I have the words "I'm easy" written anywhere?
What happened to you this afternoon?
I don't want to talk about it.
He makes this face at her while she's trying to tell him the story. That's like, he looks so accusing. It's like the Bray face without actually saying anything. Like, why do you try to confide in him? He's terrible.
Yeah. He's also bent way forward in this very aggressive stance. It's like, well, then don't go in there after her.
Yeah. Anyway, back to perv class. Haywood starts handing back the midterm projects, and Val opens hers to see she got a D. Susan got an A. Val comes to ask the prof what the deal is in clip 13.
A D? What happened to terrific? What happened to sensational?
I'm sorry. I really can't remember every paper I read. But you're certainly welcome to appeal your grade. I have been known to give papers a second chance.
I don't get it. Your paper was great.
Yeah. I mean, I would have thought you'd get a gold star.
What's that supposed to mean?
I guess being nice to the teacher didn't pay off.
This isn't about being nice. This guy's got it in for me.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
And if this is how he responds every time he's turned down, it's shocking that they had to do this much of an investigation to
honestly
bring him down.
Seriously.
It's so fucking obvious. Like, maybe shade her with a B-. Jeez.
Yeah. Yes. In the good old student union, Val paces tensely. In the interim between those two scenes, she has told Susan and David what happened or didn't with Haywood. Val doesn't think she'll look good if she reports Haywood, and they discuss it in clip 14.
You know, I went to the seminar with him. I had a couple drinks. You know, I acted like his little groupie. I mean, what did I expect?
You didn't do anything wrong. I'm so sorry I teased you about this.
Wait, the administration has rules about this, right?
Yeah, ethics office. Connie Shays, report him.
I'll go with you.
Me too.
No, I don't want anybody knowing about this. It's humiliating.
Val, relax, okay? Just sit down and I'll get you a cup of tea or something. Talk to her, please. Convince her.
Look, Haywood made a pass at you and you turned him down, right?
Yeah.
And now he's using his power to punish you. That's sexual harassment, Valerie. It's illegal.
Look, there are things about me that you don't know. Things that I'm not really proud of.
Look, that may be, all right, but if you let him get away with this, you're an accomplice. Chances are you're not the first girl he did this to, and you won't be the last.
Well, sadly true, but
yeah, maybe not the motivational angle that is going to be effective here.
Indeed. So Val agrees to report Haywood, but says that Susan and David may not like her when it's over. Okay. Cut to Val reporting Haywood to the dean or whoever. The dean seems dubious, but says they'll start an investigation and asks if there's anyone who can corroborate what Val is saying, which there isn't, and why Val was alone with Haywood off campus. Val says she knew this was going to happen and that she's going to be the one who gets investigated and decides she'd rather forget the whole thing. And the stupid dean doesn't even try to stop her as she walks out. People, believe women. Jesus Christ. How many times do we have to say it on this show and in life? Moving on. Brandon comes to retrieve Susan, but she's inflamed about Haywood and has a list of phone numbers. We don't know of what. Brandon asks about a quote from Val, and Susan sighs that she won't give one. And Brandon's response is clip 15.
And stay away from the story.
I mean, leaving aside, which I won't, that the tone is a non-starter since you work for her at the paper and not the other way around. That's not how journalisting goes.
No, it's not.
Ace.
Barf. Brandon.
I have so many paper related questions about how this all shakes out, but we'll get to them.
Lord. Susan says that the Haywood situation goes way beyond Val. So Brandon pulls up a chair and asks for half the phone list rather than go stag to Colin's stupid art thing. In David's room, Val lets David give her a shoulder rub. What is with the shoulder rubs in these two episodes, by the way? I don't know why it's suddenly a thing, but anyway, the phone rings. It's Brandon looking for Val. He tells her about Susan's findings and suggests that she reconsider going on the record, but Val angrily refuses and tells him to back off. Brandon says he will, but that with or without her, there's a story for them to report. She asks him not to make her part of it, and when she hangs up, she and David get into it in clip 16.
I don't understand why you're backing off.
Because I don't want to be raked over the coals.
So what? You're tough.
David, do you really want to hear what a slut I am? Because that's going to be Haywood's defense.
Look, Val, I don't care what anyone says, okay? I'm going to stand by you like you stood by me, whether you go through with this or not. Okay?
Listen, David, do me a favor.
Anything.
Promise me that you won't get impatient if I want to take this relationship slow.
I promise.
I like these two together. Sorry. I think they're sweet.
I like these two together, but what I don't like is that she's sort of looking at the perception of her and being like, and trying to sort of reform her quote unquote slutty ways so that she can be more like St. Kelly. Like,
yeah.
I mean, if you want to go slow, go slow. Mm-hmm. It's whatever you want. But I feel like she wants it because it's like, well, my reputation, like, oh, fuck those people.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, the next day, Val goes to see Haywood in his empty classroom. Bad move to make peace. She was hoping they could come to a private understanding so that he would give her the grade she deserves. But he knows about her report to the ethics department. I don't know. The department didn't alert him, but Susan did. Great. And Val is the one who's going to suffer, he says. And they discuss that in clip 17.
I didn't do anything.
Well, I welcome a hearing. I want people to hear every detail about the skimpy little outfits you wear to class and the way you flirt with me, suggesting what you might do for me if I give you the right grade.
You came on to me, Professor.
Says the little strumpet. Believe me, you are going to be humiliated.
Oh, music.
And also, where was the big reveal here? Did you think that she was wired up?
Yes, of
course. I just assumed she was recording this.
Me too. No. Why else would she go and see him in an empty classroom and try
and let him talk to you like that?
Exactly.
Oh, God.
So dumb. Anyway, Val goes straight from this unrecorded conversation to the Condor office. She doesn't care about her reputation anymore. She just wants to get him, and she'll go on the record whether anyone believes her or not. But Brandon and Susan have been on the phone all night, and a bunch of other former students came out of the woodwork, and they applaud Val. Okay. And well, then
can I just ask a few questions about that?
Sure.
First of all, we're about to hear a clip, but then right before that, Brandon's like, at about 1 a.m. all these people started coming out of the woodwork. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they were standing outside in the quad with a hunk of cheese, like, and then everybody streamed towards it, like, finally. It's just a weird way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, did you just keep calling people until someone finally answered the phone half asleep, like John Mitchell and All the President's Men?
Yeah. Also,
is that the... And then they had to come physically to the Condor office?
Yes, that was my next question. Like,
and
if
wait
the whole thing
for Valerie in their high-waisted pants?
Well, they had to see in person the latest victim. I have no idea. It makes no sense. But whatever. They all applaud her. And then clip 18.
Did he say that you reminded him of his late wife?
He said that to you, too?
He said that to all of us. And now we're going on record.
Connie Shays is on her way down to take statements from everybody.
And I just got off the phone with Dean Whitmore. The university has had it with Professor Haywood. They're going to demand for his resignation today. So by the time the story is published tomorrow, it's going to have a happy ending.
Not how it works.
No.
Okay. Not how any part of any of this works.
No, it's not.
Including the word demand.
Uh-huh.
It's just demand, not demand for.
Yeah.
What are you, Trump?
But Val gets her smile back, and that makes it all worthwhile, I guess. End of episode. Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
With our most valuable player. Val, I guess. She finally did come around and decide to respect herself, which is good.
Yeah. I don't know. David?
Sure. He did give her a shoulder rub and liked her paper.
Sure. Why not?
Least valuable player.
Oh.
Tony Sr., I guess, thinking that this is going to end well for him.
I'm going to go with whoever Connie Shays is. Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
5 ways from this episode that Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. It's really
the
dangerous.
Sheets.
What?
The sheets.
Oh, the sheets. Yeah, the sheets are bad.
Bad.
Dangerous to fuck around with a mobster's daughter. We just have to keep saying it because it's still true.
Yeah. It's also kind of bad to like, well, I guess this isn't really his fault, but now I guess she lives with him. And it's like, does either of you know how to get a job? It's probably time to do that. So it's bad.
Yeah. It's dangerous to try and fix your motorcycle without shoes on because it could fall on you and you would hurt yourself.
What else? What else do they even do?
It's bad to fuck around in a library. People are trying to study. Come on now.
Yeah. Okay. That'll work.
Makes 5.
Sure does. Next time on Again With This, it's Love Potion number 9. Halloween stuff tries to dress up what the show does worst, quote-unquote humor, while Colin unveils what he does worst, art, and Pumpkin Boy raises his stalker game for sweeps. You'll need to carve out your own eyeballs when you peep our visual aids on our website for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslyTV, and you can follow this very podcast at AWT90210. I'm Sugar Mama Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Orphaned Pair of Handcuffs, Tara Ariano. She's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And Art for the People, David T. Cole, is our producer. He's on Twitter at Glark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beep-a-rooney.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You purr at me and I feel complete. Then you come at me like the Wolverine. And even though you often turn your back on me, our love goes deeper than a submarine. No, I don't want clay dust inside of you, or chemicals in the place you poo. In my arms or in your box, our love will be pure.
World's best cat litter for the world's best cat.